How to help AI do your work better. What if I told you that figuring out what parts of your work you should be getting artificial intelligence to automate was a simple math equation? This week, two new products came online that make getting AI to do work for you much simpler. Grokbot gives users the ability to teach it a task by manually recording them doing something, while ChatGPT's computer history watches how you work and learns over time. Together, these represent the shift of the biggest challenge in artificial intelligence, moving from capability to context. But as these new features come online, you still have to figure out which part of your work you want AI to automate. The work best suited for AI deputization is frequent, time-consuming, teachable, easily verifiable, and doesn't require you to have been the one to do it to be successful. The AI Daily Brief is a daily podcast and video about the most important news and discussions in AI. Welcome back to the AI Daily Brief Headlines Edition, all the daily AI news you need in around 5 minutes. It's almost like Google heard us yesterday talking about how many people were talking about SpaceX AI as though it had completely usurped Google in the pantheon of serious frontier model companies. On Thursday, Google released Gemini 3.7 Flash. And while it is neither the much-delayed Gemini 3.5 Pro nor the now increasingly anticipated Gemini 4, it does play in a different category of efficiency that's becoming a higher and higher consideration, especially for serious and advanced users. So, let's start with what's good about this model. It appears to be very, very fast. During testing from artificial analysis, the model ran at 340 tokens per second, which is an entirely different category than anything else. It's more than twice as fast as GPT 5.6 Luna, and even a bit faster than NVIDIA's new Nemotron 3.5 Lightning. On the benchmarks, Google made some solid gains over 3.6 Flash, most notably improving their score on coding benchmark deep sweep from 48.6% to 65.3%. And with this model, Google is also slashing prices by half, making it a little more cost-effective than its predecessor. Unfortunately, just like 3.6 Flash, by optimizing for speed, the model kind of ends up in a strange no man's land. Even with the cost reduction, the model still costs 40 cents per task on the artificial analysis benchmark run. That makes it the same price as MooSpark 1.2, slightly more expensive than models like Nemotron 3 Ultra or GLM 5.2, and around 8 times more expensive than the ultra-cheap models like GPT 5.6 Luna. At the same time, it feels like the model just isn't strong enough on the benchmarks to justify the cost difference. Cognition pointed out that 3.7 Flash has Sonnet 5 coding performance for less than half the cost, but to put it mildly, Sonnet 5 has not been a hit. Most users are either paying a little more for a frontier model or looking for a much cheaper model. None of which is to say that Gemini 3.7 Flash is bad. It just sits in an uncomfortable middle ground right now on the cost per intelligence trade-off. And yet, I think it would be a mistake to assume yet that we really understand how on aggregate these behaviors are going to shape out. In practice, some users are reporting increased utility, particularly with the boost in coding. Brandon Galling of Versal wrote, "Ignore the FUD on Gemini 3.7 Flash. It actually sits on the Pareto frontier. It still technically gets edged out by 5.6 Luna, but that's extremely deceptive. 5.6 Luna is a much smaller model, and while my team has cut over a lot of production workflows to it, I personally would not turn to it for coding tasks. Gemini models have always had strong pros and multimodal understanding. I'm actually feeling somewhat iffy on Grok 4.6 from a model behavior standpoint, so for now I'm giving Gemini 3.7 Flash a try as my daily driver and execution model." Analyst Max Weinbach agreed, saying, "I'm really enjoying Gemini 3.7 Flash in anti-gravity. It's really fast, seems to be really good, and the usage limits are insanely high." Now, it's worth pointing out that for partially synchronous coding tasks, meaning coding tasks that aren't long horizon where you just go off and let the agent work, but where you are actually sitting there interacting with what the agent is producing, that speed boost could make a really big difference and actually justify a slightly increased price tag even at a decreased performance from the frontier. The other big use case is improving Gemini Spark, which is Google's personal agent. The massive speed boost, the implied increase in compute efficiency, and solid improvements on coding and white-collar work benchmarks make it a big upgrade for Spark. If you're trying to take away anything from this, it's another reminder that the model race is branching out into multiple races. There's certainly still the race for the frontier, but there's also a race for distribution. There's a race around harnesses, a race for revenue, and within the context of models alone, Google seems to be betting that speed is a dimension that people will pay attention to as well. Now, speaking of how we understand the model race, we just got a really interesting new study that confirms something that we discuss on this show a lot, which is that switching to a cheaper model, particularly a Chinese model, won't necessarily deliver savings to the bottom line. A new study from AlphaSense looked at how a range of different US and Chinese models perform in real-world tasks. It tested GPT 5.6 Sol from OpenAI, as well as Opus 4.8, Opus 5, Sonnet 5, and Haiku 4.5 from Anthropic. From China, AlphaSense tested Kimi K3 and GLM 5.2. The study also included two US open-weight models, Inkling from Thinking Machines Lab and Gemma 4 from Google. The models were tasked with running through a series of several hundred financial analysis questions that required them to sift through a large volume of data, including earnings call transcripts, SEC filings, and news articles. The outputs were scored for quality, which included things like factual accuracy and including multiple analyst perspectives. The results showed that both GPT 5.6 Sol and Opus 4.8 were able to deliver a much higher quality result for cheaper than either of the Chinese models. GPT 5.6 Sol, for example, completed the task for around 13% cheaper than Kimi K3 with a quality score around 20% higher. Both Gemma 4 and Inkling were able to do a decent job around the same quality as GLM 5.2 for less than one-fifth the cost. Opus 5 was an interesting outlier, delivering lower quality responses than Opus 4.8 while also costing more than five times as much. Now, clearly part of the purpose of the study was to test the theory that Kimi K3 and GLM 5.2 had reached frontier performance at a fraction of the cost. In practice, what the study found was that, at least for this use case, they were both around the same level as Sonnet 5 and much more expensive than GPT 5.6 Sol. Said AlphaSense CEO Jack Coco, some of the more expensive models, the ones that look more expensive based on just their price per token, actually ended up being less costly because they were more efficient in using tokens. Especially for you enterprise buyers and planners out there, the faster that we shift our conventional wisdom around this and actually figure out the models that are most efficient for our particular tasks, the better off your budget is going to be. OpenAI has introduced ultra-fast mode for GPT 5.6 Sol, which they claim delivers frontier intelligence at 14 times the speed. The new mode allows Sol to run at 750 tokens per second, which is more than twice the pace of Gemini 3.7 Flash. For now, ultra-fast mode will only be available through the API to select customers. The feature leverages the optimizations OpenAI has made to run models on Cerebras hardware, so available infrastructure will be the limiting factor. OpenAI has positioned this as only really suitable for specific workflows where latency is a major factor, writing, "Ultra-fast is designed for businesses where faster frontier. Intelligence creates a measurable advantage, including real-time voice and customer support, commerce, coding and design, financial research and security response." The company did not mention how large the premium would be for ultra-fast mode, but presumably it's not ultra cheap. Still, especially in the context of what we were just saying about Gemini 3.7 Flash, it is very interesting to see them push into this area as well. One other story from OpenAI, although this time on the personnel side. On Thursday, the company's chief revenue officer, Denise Dresser, announced that she would be leaving OpenAI in the coming weeks to pursue other opportunities. Denise joined the company just 9 months ago in December and was brought on at a time when OpenAI's growth was being questioned in the press, meaning that her significant pedigree as a veteran tech executive went a long way to easing investors' concerns. Prior to joining OpenAI, she had spent more than a decade at Salesforce, including spending her last 2 years as CEO of Slack. Alongside OpenAI CFO Tara Fryer, Dresser was viewed as a part of the new business-focused executive team designed to get the company in shape ahead of the IPO. At the same time as they announced Denise's leaving, the company also announced her replacement, this time with another industry veteran, Dali Rajek, the former president and COO of Wiz. Now, in general, I don't spend nearly as much time on these sort of personnel moves as some other media properties do. I think that 9 times out of 10, the Occam's razor explanation for personnel moves is in fact personal. I also think that there is such a desire right now among outside observers to read any sort of shifts as tea leaves for major problems inside that trying to do a lot of analysis from outside is pretty fraught. However, holding aside whatever I think, the market is certainly noticing these transitions. Our new AI employee can give you $100 of free work moving over to real-world deployment case studies from Ali Abdul's team. Let's look at what happens when you actually hire an AI employee. When they hired Victor last month, the team genuinely did not know if they would actually use him. But after one full week of having Victor as an active AI employee, the results were striking. On Monday, Owen, the marketing lead, hit one button on their Lifestyle Business Academy scorecard, and Victor pulled in all of the previous day's metrics regarding applications, interviews, and ad spend, posting a full summary of those metrics straight to the relevant Slack channel so everyone on the team could see it instantly. On Tuesday, Nicole, the social media manager, asked Victor to pull in transcripts directly from YouTube videos that had just been filmed and turn them into first drafts of Instagram carousels to drive traffic back to YouTube. This happened within a few minutes, and the output required very little tweaking. Nicole was also able to create a report showing how their Instagram account was performing compared to their other social media channels. On Wednesday, normally the day for filming YouTube videos, the team received their weekly 9 a.m. YouTube filming briefing. This document shows the numbers, anomalies, and competitor stats over the last 7 days, so the team can track their standing in the space. This used to be a purely manual exercise for their YouTube producer, but now Victor executes it completely automatically every single Wednesday. On Thursday, the team asked Victor to analyze all of the meta ads they had been running on Facebook and Instagram for Superfocus, a new software app they are developing. Then on Friday, Ali Abdul himself had a chat with Victor regarding various curriculum changes he was thinking of making to the Lifestyle Business Academy. Because Victor maintains deep context about all the educational material they have taught students over the last 9 months, he was able to go back and forth in a reasonably intelligent, highly contextualized way. Across 5 days, 5 different members of the team delegated 5 completely different jobs, all handled by Victor, their single AI employee. That concludes your YouTube briefing for today. Thank you for listening.